Something to consider on your long weekend, my friends. The Wine Align Canadian National Wine Awards have been announced this week, the Winery of the Year in Canada. And I'm pleased to welcome to the show not only a friend of the show, one of the sponsors, but also someone I've known through his parents and himself for many years, and that's Joseph Luckhurst, the managing partner at Row 13 on the Golden Mile. The Winery of the Year in Canada.
Absolutely.
As judged by the best wine minds in Canada.
Absolutely. As Anthony Gismondi put it to me, it's the biggest and toughest wine awards in Canada, possibly in North America.
I see that 2014, you were number 8 in Canada. And last year, you were best in BC and number 4 in Canada. So yep. You were working towards this goal, and you finally got there. Does it feel like you have climbed the top of that mountain?
It does. It feels great because we've actually been in the top 10 wineries in Canada, these awards, for 10 years running now. And, you know, we've been as low as number 8, as high as number, I think, 3 overall, but never quite hit that top mark. But this year we finally did it, which, of course, was our goal from day one, from opening the winery 15 years ago.
It's a collective thing, though, isn't it, Joseph? Because you have to win your amount of gold, you have to win an amount of silver, and a handful of bronze, and then you would like to come in with a platinum as the crowning achievement. And when they announced you had won the platinum and for your 2016 Roseanne, that pretty much did it for you.
We figured as much, yeah. We saw the platinum medal, which is always a nice feather in the cap, but then after seeing that we had won 8 gold medals, which I was only able to look back as far as 2013, but that looks like it's more gold than anybody's ever won at that competition. So we figured it was going to be good news.
I couldn't help but notice that you have two Petit Verdot winners, one from Jackpot for 2014 and mm-hmm. one from the Blind Creek Collective Petit Verdot 2016. How different are they?
You know, they're from the exact same vineyard, our Blind Creek vineyard out in the Smilkmeen Valley. And, you know, those Petit Verdot grapes out there are amongst the best grapes we've ever seen in Canada. Those wines are absolutely outstanding. And like 2014, 2016 was a really nice hot vintage, so big ripeness. In a style of wine I've always affectionately called heart attack wine. It's something you pair with food that's going to kill you, and it's delicious.
I also like the Blind Creek Viognier. Here's the deal about the Viognier. You know, as a single vineyard, it's wonderful. But if you look at your blends, if you take a look at all of the elements that go into many of your wines, there's always a percentage of Viognier.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like a Petit Verdot with a red. It just takes a little bit of Viognier to add into wine, to add so much more structure, so much more character, this nice big aromatic note. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that the Rhone varietals like that are the single best grapes to be grown in the South Okanagan, and I think that wine showcases that perfectly.
Joseph Luckhurst from Row 13, he is the managing partner of the Winery of the Year in Canada from the Canadian National Wine Awards. Hey, Joe, I like the silver for the Cab Sav. There were a bunch of judges that said 5 years ago, they sent a note to the head of judging saying, why are we being asked to judge a Canadian Cab Sav? We can't grow Cab Sav in this country.
I mean, you know, in some vintages, they might be right. But when we have an outstanding vintage in British Columbia, I believe we can make Cab as good as anywhere in the world. It takes some extra work. It takes some extra love and care for the vines. But when the Cab is good out here, it is great. And I think there are tons of examples across the Okanagan Valley of that.
What does it mean to you and everybody at Road 13? Really, truly, you have no idea what's about to happen. What do you think this changes?
You know, I hope it doesn't change much around here, other than that it once again reinforces what were the message we're trying to send out, that it's all about the dirt, that we're fortunate enough to have some of the best grape-growing land in Canada, possibly some of the best grape-growing land in North America on our property here. But just, you know, in the end, the main thing that always comes to my mind is just kind of how humbled I am to be able to work with some of Canada's top wine talent and the personalities I have here, and just what a joy it is.
Okay, I got to go back to a Top Drop with Curtis Colt here in Vancouver. Thank you for talking to us. I appreciate it very much.
All right. Thank you, Terry.
And I will see you on your doorstep in the tasting room shortly.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it.
Road 13. It's all about the dirt.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
We take you back to Top Drop Vancouver. Once again, I believe this is our fifth year, and our contact with this organization is Curtis Colt. And once again, he and his partner have gathered some of the finest principals, winemakers, and owners in one room. It's just astonishing how they are able to pull this off. This year, they went to Calgary. Now they're at the Roundhouse in Vancouver. This will be a two-parter because I think we did 15 or 16 or 17 interviews. Can't get them all into one show. However, for this show, Curtis Colt, Paul Leary, the man behind Blackbird Vineyards in Napa Valley, wine expert David Schofield representing the wines of Chile, David Patterson, the winemaker and general manager at Tantalus, Justin Fairweather, one of the brothers who runs the most amazing winery in Australia called Alpha Box and Dice. The legendary Jane Ferrari joins us on this show. She is the face and voice of Yalumba in the Barossa Valley. Virginie Tapano from Merm. DJ Kearney, who was operating the wine store in the room. And Simon Black, who is pouring the wines of Montalto. That's the show. We'll give you the lineup for next week at the end of the show. If you're ready, let's head for the Roundhouse. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Okanagan Crush Pad. They invite you to join the wine club today. Order online and receive VIP treatment when you visit the winery. Open year-round. Find them at OkanaganCrushPad.com. It has come to this, my friends. We have removed ourselves from the Roundhouse so that we could find solace. We're in the men's washroom, and I'm speaking with Curtis Colt, actually, in the lobby. He is the co-founder of Top Drop Vancouver. This is year five?
This is year five.
First of all, tell me about year one in Calgary a couple of days ago.
Yes, we did our first ever year in Calgary. We had 24 wineries. We had a bunch of fantastic Alberta craft breweries, some great restaurant partners, Rodney's, Donna Mac, and so on. And it was really exciting, and it was a good recollection of what year one here was like.
Are they drinking any different from us?
That's a really good question. I have to say that we all commented that they were a really well-behaved group. You know how these shows can go.
Yes.
Sometimes. And you know, Vancouver is generally great as well, but they were fantastic. I think there's a penchant people like some bigger reds. You know, the good thing is we brought a whole bunch of Barolo and Napa and things like that. So I think we made people really happy.
Any conversations about Alberta and BC and BC's wine business?
We didn't bring it up.
Did they?
You know what? I think there was some friendly jostling and,
yes,
and elbowing. But otherwise, it was politics-free. You know what? It was about the wine. It was about the producers. It was about the craft beer. And it was about all these wonderful things that we love in this industry.
How has it changed since 2014? I mean, I'm looking at this list. It's longer, it's bigger, it's more involved.
Mm-hmm. You know, we were an unknown entity when we first started, and so we really had to get people on board and make promises. We're going to deliver some great trade and media. We're going to have a fantastic crowd at night. And, you know, wineries are like, okay, we'll give it a whirl. And now it's come to the point that a lot of wineries are coming to us before we have the chance to come to them.
Is there a limit?
There's a limit. You know, we love being here at the Roundhouse in Vancouver. It's such a beautiful venue, and so we kind of cap it at around 40. We like people to be able to do the whole room.
If
they have the stamina to actually go table to table and do it. So this is a really comfy size for us here.
And you do it alphabetically, which is a beautiful thing.
We do it alphabetically because, you know, we want people to go through and see the diversity of wines here. We don't want people, you know, who maybe assume they don't like Australian wine, but maybe they just haven't been having the right Australian wines. For example, Alpha Box and Dice here.
Exactly.
From McLaren Vale. Brothers Justin and Dylan Fairweather do some fun stuff with some wacky varieties.
But you did a seminar called Smash Up.
Yes, it was Smashable Wines of Australia, you know, because I think a lot of people assume that they may be heavier or too rich. But the ones that we had some Pusey Vale Eden Valley Riesling, really crisp, right? We had Yalumba Viognier, lovely stuff. Montalto Chardonnay from Mornington Peninsula, love it.
Has Ridge been here before?
Ridge was here for year one.
They
had our backs. And so, yes, one of our things is also you can never do back-to-back years at Top Drop, so
okay,
it's always a very fresh slate. But year five, they have returned bigger and better than ever.
I'm going to try to get to as many as I can. I see Bella's there. I want to find out what's going on with Jay. Is he pouring his big bottles?
He's pouring some magnums. He's pouring half bottles. He has so many varieties of bottles that he does. Lots of great sparkling Gamay, his Pet Nat. We have some champagne. It's pretty fun.
And Meyer will be representing the Chardonnay side?
Absolutely. We have
and Pinot.
Yes, Chardonnay and Pinot from Meyer, Okanagan Falls. Same with Blue Mountain, Okanagan Falls is going to be doing that. So good showing there.
Spotswood.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. Big, sturdy Napa cabs. Beth from Spotswood is here. I love her. She's very sweet. Hope everyone gets a chance to say hi.
Jane Ferrari from Yolumba is a show in herself.
Oh, she is one of the best storytellers we've got, next to you, of course.
Oh, man. All I do is ask the first question with her. Here's the deal. You have a list of, right at the top of my page, too, all the Italians and the French in one grouping here. It's intriguing. How was the dialogue between you and the Italians and the French in terms of coming all the way to Vancouver?
You know, it was so good, and it's so funny how alphabetically we actually have this crazy cluster of Italian and French. You know, they're always excited to come, well, especially this season, to come to sunny Vancouver and to enjoy some fresh seafood and all of that. And, you know, we actually, when we looked at the wineries we had this year, we said, oh, we have 7 producers who do Barolo. Is that too much? And then we thought, there's no such thing as too much Barolo. No one's going to complain about that.
I see a couple of Oregon Willamette wineries. Did Washington miss out this year?
I don't think we had any Washington applicants, you know, but it's always tough. We only have room for 40. There's a big wine world out there. And so sometimes, you know, we don't see certain regions, but then they'll be back in full force the next year. It's just, you know, keeping things lively and exciting.
Okay, I'm going to give run your numbers for you. 12 Italians.
Yes.
Well done. 6 French.
Yep.
6 BC, 5 California. And 2 from Croatia.
2 from Croatia. I think this is going to be really exciting for a lot of people to have the opportunity to try these wines for the first time. They, you know, a lot of aromatic whites, crisp, lively acidity, really good for how we eat here on the coast with seafood, vegetable-driven food.
And to their, Curtis, to their credit, year 1, 2014, I wrote down Blue Mountain and Tantalus were here on that year.
Yes, they've been great supporters of Top Rot. We love their wines. And Dave Patterson, Christy Mavidi, wonderful people.
You're still, this is like, it's you and a small team of people putting this together.
My partner, Jeff Curry, it was 2 of us who started this. We have a tiny team of some of the best sommeliers and retailers in the city who have put this together. It's the event we want to see, and it's really resonated with the public.
And where's the best place to find information? Post, obviously.
Topdrop.ca.
Okay, the website.
Yes, that's the website that'll give you everything you need to know.
All we need is Top Drop Victoria, and we're home free.
Okay, yes, we'll come to you next year.
Thank you, Curtis.
All right, thank you, Terry.
This is Tasting Room Radio. We're at Top Drop Vancouver, year 5, and they're just starting to set up now. I found that Paul Leary was the president of Blackbird Vineyards in Napa Valley. Hello, welcome to Vancouver.
Thank you.
You know us well?
Probably been to Vancouver 7 times in my life over the last 5 to 7 years.
Have you been to the Okanagan at all?
I haven't. It's on my list to get to, though, I hear.
I think so. You did at Boulevard last night, I made a note here, making a case for Merlot. Was that what it was called, that seminar, or was it just an excuse to eat and drink?
Boulevard was with Spotswood, with Bette Novak, the president, and myself, and we showed Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, and Merlot. Blackbird did have 2 Merlot-based wines there, the 2006 illustration as well as the 2014 illustration, which are predominantly Merlot, but not 100%. We always blend in our varietals to give a more complete wine, but I got to tell you, the 06 showed beautifully. People were blown away by it.
So it should. How did you ride out the sideways storm with Merlot?
Merlot is one component of our portfolio.
Of course.
Equal gallonage is actually Cabernet Franc. So many people don't know that we have as much focus on Cabernet Franc as we do Merlot. And all of our red wines are labeled as proprietary red wines. They're not Merlot varietally labeled. So that's because we want the winemaking team to have the greatest blending flexibility. So the sideways effect really wasn't as much of an issue for us because of the diversity of the varietals we work with.
Good movie.
It is a great movie. Absolutely. Good movie and amazing irony at the end where Giamonte is actually drinking Cheval Blanc.
Of course.
Right.
Yes. Merlot.
Merlot. Merlot Cabernet Franc. We make a wine actually inspired by Cheval Blanc called Paramore that is paying homage to that beauty of Merlot Cabernet Franc together.
Paul Leary is the president of Blackbird Vineyards in Napa Valley, and we're speaking to him at Top Drop Vancouver. Have you tried any of the BC Cab Francs? Because Cab Franc seems to really like it in the Okanagan.
You know, I honestly haven't, but I know that it's more ideal growing conditions there than a lot of other places in the world. What we have to be careful of with Cabernet Franc is not being too cool so that you get too much green vegetal stemminess in the wines, because honestly, honestly, most people don't understand nor appreciate that. We may, you know, if you drink a great Chinon of Loire or France, but most people want that spice, that richness, that roundness that Cabernet Franc can give you. Though, again, it's very fickle to grow. You need absolutely the right terroir for it.
Did you brought over one of your fine rosés. Did rosé explode south of us like it did here?
Absolutely. In the past 5 to 7 years, we've been producing this rosé, the Blackbird Arbiste rosé, since 07. And, you know, so it's 11 vintages in that we're basically playing with. And it's phenomenal, the growth that we've seen. We actually have a true waiting list with our distributors around the country for this wine.
Made from?
Made from Cabernet Franc and Merlot. So it's a Saunier. We bleed off the red wines after only about 5 hours of skin contact to create the rosé. So as you see, it's a little bit of a darker hue, a richer hue, and that comes from those varietals.
Was it a tougher sell down there?
Not necessarily.
I'm thinking of the guys.
Yeah, that's a great question. That is a great comment and question. I have a trick that I do at tasting, specifically with, let's say, the gentlemen in that, you know, 45 to 75 age range, where they come over and they want to only taste the Blackbird red wines, and I tell them the gatekeeper is the rosé and they must taste it first. Many of them scoff at me, but most actually follow through, taste it, and are blown away by the style, because it's more of a kind of a red wine lover's rosé because of the Franc and Merlot in there and the fact that we're doing a Saunier with it. They really appreciate it.
So what did you bring to pour today, Paul?
We have a great horizontal, actually, of the Blackbird portfolio. We have our Arise red wine, and then which is a beautiful Bordeaux blend of the different varietals. We have Contrarian, which is Cabernet Sauvignon, and we have Paramore, which is Cabernet Franc, all from the 14 vintage. And then we have our newest piece in the portfolio, a brand called Arena. They're wines from beyond Napa. San Francisco Bay Rosé, that's Provençal, because it's Carignan and Mourvèdre, and a Lake County Cabernet. More of a value tier, but still made by the Blackbird winemaking team. We're trying to create a brand that's a little bit more accessible on a Wednesday night.
And finally, Paul, an overview on Napa, Sonoma, California, now that the fires have come and gone. What's the next challenge for the area?
Well, let's get through 2018 vintage. Growing season looks great so far. You know, Northern California is thriving as an economy, as a place that people are, you know, wanting to live. I think the biggest challenge is truly finding great, dedicated people for the company, because there is so many beautiful businesses out there in wine and hospitality. To try and keep and retain that talent, you have to really have a great operational culture.
Thank you for the rosé.
My pleasure.
Paul Leary is the president of Blackbird Vineyards in Napa Valley, and we're speaking to him at Top Drop Vancouver.
This is Tasting Room Radio, a home for passionate fans of food, wine, and friends.
This is Top Drop 2018, Vancouver.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Club at Crush Pad, the wines your friends are drinking. Visit OkanaganCrushPad.com to join today. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by NewDistrict.ca. Did you know you can buy wine online? Browsing NewDistrict.ca makes it easy to discover and purchase new wines, and every bottle is selected by wine expert DJ Kearney. Go to NewDistrict.ca to order wine to your doorstep.
It's Top Drop Vancouver 2018, year 5. And I have David Patterson, the winemaker and general manager from Tantalus Vineyards in the Okanagan Valley. David, you were at the first Top Drop Vancouver in 2014. Were you not a Tantalus?
I know I was. I've volunteered for this a couple of times, come down and emptied spit buckets and things like that when we're not showing.
Why?
It's the best wine show of the year, I think. The quality of producer, the quality of trade that turns out is pretty exceptional, and it's at just the right size that everyone can have a chat to everyone.
I'm astonished that winemakers and proprietors come from as far away as they do to attend.
Mm-hmm.
I obviously,
you know, agents look after each other, and this show has been set up by an agency and Curtis Cole, Jeff Curry and Curtis Cole. And so, you know, they have the ear of the industry, and the industry turns up.
But you know how many invites they would get over the course of the year.
Yeah.
The fact that they all show up here at the Roundhouse is quite remarkable.
Yeah, it is. It's really, I mean, it's great to see it 5 years in, and the word's out that this is a pretty good show to sell some wine at.
All right, what's happened in those 5 years at Tantalus as an overview?
Well, I've taken over as general manager as well as winemaker. We've bought lots of new fun toys, new sprayers and tractors and
Woo-hoo!
All of that. Really just putting everything into the vineyard and improving all the old vines that, you know, we're in a pretty cold climate. We have some pretty gnarly old vines. And so the last couple of years have really been about taking out any cracked trunks, anything with a little bit of disease in the trunks that are caused by damage in winter, and then regenerating all those trunks back up from that same root system. So it's been quite a task.
What did you plant, you yourself, what did you want to plant in those 5 years?
So we're sticking to our guns. We're a Riesling house that does Pinot and Chardonnay very well as well. We haven't got any need to branch out from there. We have too much demand on those wines anyway.
I did see a phrase went by yesterday that said, they were talking about Chardonnay, and they said, you want find a Riesling grower maker that makes Chardonnay,
yes,
and you've struck gold.
Yeah.
You agree?
I agree. I mean, that was mentioned in Calgary, and mentioned at the Chardonnay conference, or Chardonnay seminar yesterday as well. I think, Riesling makers have maybe a bit more of an appreciation for acidity than some other winemakers. So stands to reason that if you put really good Chardonnay in someone like that's hands, they're going to make a very nervous, tense, delicious Chardonnay.
David Patterson, the winemaker and general manager at Tantalus Vineyards in the Okanagan Valley. You brought your Pinot, your 2015.
Yeah.
Well, what's the clonal makeup of your 2015 Pinot?
So the base would be 115 and 667, a little bit of 777 and 828.
It's remarkable how each adds something to the final blend.
It does, yeah. It's to me, it's still hard to tell whether it is definitely clone or whether it's the piece of land that clone's on that's expressing different. But for sure, without a doubt, when you go through and taste the barrels from those different parcels, there's a big difference.
Did I ask you what you're pouring today at the table?
I'm pouring new Riesling, new Rosé, new Old Vines Riesling, and then Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. We're right at the tail end of the vintage. I'm trying to get around to a fall release on that. It's we're going to be a little earlier than that. I would really like to be releasing in September, but it'll be more like July for the next wines. But, showing the new Rosé is stunning. But I wanted to show you the 15 Pinot just because now that it's had almost a year in bottle, it's really starting to show its mettle. And this is the first time we've been unfined, unfiltered.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. And what do you figure the shelf life of that bottle is?
Well, we're 3 years deep in it as far as, you know, since the grapes were picked, and it's still a nervous little baby in some regards. So 10 years plus.
10 years, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's classic Okanagan.
Yeah.
I'd be glad to smell and taste that.
Oh, of course.
And David Patterson, the winemaker and general manager at Tantalus Vineyards in the Okanagan Valley. Do you have any event at Tantalus you want people to know about this summer?
Okanagan Symphony Orchestra is coming again, bringing a world-class act to our tank hall. That's a fundraiser for the orchestra. I'm doing a Canada Day dinner in Fogo Island, which is going to be awesome. And we're going to be showing out in Toronto out at I4C this year as well. Apart from that, we're...
business.
We're just, tasting rooms open every day, and the grapes are growing, so... All of our time and attention is out in the vineyard right now.
Okay, David, last question, and that is the future for the Okanagan. Mm-hmm. How does it feel? What's your gut tell you?
I think the future is extremely bright when you have gentlemen like Anthony von Mandel doubling down in our own backyard. He could have gone anywhere. He could have bought a Bordeaux house or a Tuscany house, and he decided to go again in the Okanagan is a great sign. The fact that Daryl Brook is taking... all 1,000 acres organic just shows that our industry is maturing.
Yeah.
And with that maturity comes, you know, acquisitions. So some of the bigger guys are going to get bigger. That's happened everywhere around the world of wine. And some of the smaller guys won't survive. And if the competition's fierce, and you need to be at the top of your game to stay in the game. So I think you've already seen an exponential... raise in quality over the last 5 to 7 years, and I think you'll see that continue for the next 10. And we're already making world class wines, and you'll see some truly exceptional wines off the cold terroirs that we have in the Okanagan.
He knows what he's talking about. David Patterson, the winemaker, general manager, Tantalus Vineyards in the Okanagan Valley. Give them a visit. I'm going to try the Pinot Noir on your behalf. It's a research thing.
Welcome to Tasting Room Radio, celebrating all the great things we love about food and wine.
His name is Justin Fairweather, and he is the proprietor, along with his brother, of Alpha Box and Dice, McLaren Vale. Am I right? Your brothers, is you and your brother and the whole family?
Yeah, no, just my brother and myself, and he's let me out to play at Top Drop this year. But yeah, I spend most of my time spreading the joy and love of McLaren Vale, where our home is, but also, you know, the other regions we also grow in, so Adelaide Hills and Barossa Valley and Langhorne Creek as well, so all proudly South Australian.
Rather than me telling the audience how different Alpha Box and Dice is, how different you are in terms of your look, your wines, your attitude?
Probably the easiest way to describe us is anything but Shiraz. And we do have one Shiraz, but we keep that as a very small batch. We're into everything else apart from Shiraz, so things like Grenache, Dolcetto, Nebbiolo, Aglianico, things that actually reflect our soil type and our environment more than what everyone else does, which is just plant Shiraz everywhere.
So it wasn't just a human thing, oh, let's go make wines that nobody else is making. It was what the terroir was giving you?
It was definitely what the terroir was giving us, but also what we could afford at the time. I mean, some of these grapes were forgotten. And starting off as a small winery that really didn't have much resource behind it or history or heritage, the easiest kind of way for us was to look at what was in the ground and what wasn't being used.
Were these ghost vineyards?
Some were, abandoned? Yeah. Some were. I mean, some of the Grenache, with the story of our Taro Grenache, is famously that. It was abandoned, and, you know, the Taro card that's represented on the label is not the face of death, but actually rebirth and regeneration in the vineyard. So for us, it's always fun to find those vineyards that have been forgotten, those grapes that have had their time, and we now bring them back. So, you know, the big movement that we obviously had, which was fortified wines in Australia, that we finally moved out of, they were things like Touriga Nationale. Now Touriga Nationale is such a cool thing to make as a normal table wine. So
what whites did you bring today?
A surprising thing, actually. We call it cheekily Os Seco. It's Glera, 100% Glera. So not quite a Prosecco, but, you know, it's, again, an Aussie take on a great grape, which is Glera. We're playing with these grapes because they're more sustainable in all our environments. So, you know, things that use less water, things that can go more organically grown a lot more easier, and, you know, that can be sustainable for us.
Tell people, this is Canada, tell people about the Golden Mullet.
Golden Mullet Fury. Yeah, that's a famous haircut. I'm sure you guys have, I've seen some in town, actually. but that is our orange wine. So I take on a skin contact Semillon Viognier. So, you know, basically white grapes made as if we're making red wine. So extended time on skins. Again, a really, really cool, funky vineyard where we've gone organic. Just minimal intervention in everything we do.
I know that the Terroir Grenache has death implications on the label, but the one below it, the Dead Winemakers Society Dolcetto.
Sounds a bit morbid, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that is death.
It is, but actually it's a tribute wine. So Dead Winemakers Society is a real kind of lunch club that we've created where you bring a bottle, tell the story of the winemakers before us, the trailblazers that kind of did break those rules and taught us our craft. So that's a tribute to the winemakers of the past that we'll never forget.
And I see an amazing blend here, Blood of Jupiter, Sangiovese and Cabernet.
So my brother and I are Barossa Valley boys originally. We're a little bit rebellious ending up in McLaren Vale, but, you know, Barossa's true to our heart. So instead of doing the obvious and making Shiraz, we found a beautiful little vineyard of Sangiovese. And for us, we drink a lot of Super Tuscan, so it's our take on an almost a Super Aussie. So 80% of Sangiovese in the blend and 20% of McLaren Vale Cabernet.
What effect do you think you had on, your success had on, those around you back home?
Well, I think it's just getting people to think differently about wine and pushing the boundaries. We push the boundaries with food. You know, everyone's looking at farm to table in their own kitchen and in, you know, in chefs' restaurants. And that's exactly what we need to do in the wine industry as well. Think differently, drink differently, and get some more excitement back into what we do, but also be mindful of sustainability in the entire process.
And you did do a seminar called Wine Without Boundaries.
Yes.
No, that's your... Hold on.
That's
you have a thought process. It's on your website. It says Wine Without Boundaries.
Correct. And that means that we don't look at one region on its own. We look at multiple regions. We look at multiple grapes. And the grapes of the traditional ones that shouldn't belong together sometimes can.
Were you guys lab rats?
Some of us were.
I mean, did it start as an experiment?
Sounds like that. Yeah, so really it started as an experiment in the vineyard rather than looking at the consumer and what they wanted. We looked at what works best in the vineyard. And then use that through our whole entire...
Do you feel comfortable here in the colonies?
it's a good question. I think after spending a lot of time in London this year, no comment.
Okay, fine. Well, I mean, you're in Canada, you're going to do well here.
We love this city, and for some reason this city loves us. They keep letting us back, and we keep coming. And we're going to keep bringing surprising wines to market because that's what people here are looking for, and it's a lot of fun.
Okay, we've just tasted the Grenache. It's the Uptero 2017 Alpha Box and Dice. You had it fully immersed in the ice.
Yeah, we did.
Is that how you want to serve it?
Well, it's such a versatile grape. You know, Grenache is so amazing. In the middle of winter, it's very warming, nice white pepper tones, a bit of spice. Today, the sun's out, which is a great thing in Vancouver, and it's refreshing. Nice acid, beautiful strawberries and cream, which is you want to see from Grenache.
Can you make a rosé out of it?
Actually, we did. We made a rosé just recently called Pink Matter. But what we've done is we've actually taken Chardonnay, a grape sometimes people have forgotten about, and we've passed that over the skins of the Grenache to give it the colour and the life. And that was our version of our rosé.
You are troublemakers, and I like you for that. Yeah. By the way, the bottle, if you see it on the shelf, it's not a clear bottle. It's slightly coloured, so you can't really see the colour of the juice.
Yeah.
Trust me on this. You want to go looking for this Grenache from Alpha Box and Dice.
Dangerous wine.
Thank you, mate.
But very good.
So Justin won't be pouring for you, particularly at any store that you go into. But Justin Fairweather is the proprietor, along with his brother. What's his name?
Dylan. He's a good-looking one.
Is he?
Yeah.
Of Alpha Box and Dice, McLaren Vale, Australia. Thank you.
No, thank you, mate.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by NewDistrict.ca. Why shop for wine when you can have an expert shop for you? The Wine Club by NewDistrict.ca sends monthly deliveries of authentic wines to your doorstep. Go to NewDistrict.ca to register for the Wine Club. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13, the winner of 15 National Wine Awards for the Wine Align 2018 competition, and now officially Canada's Winery of the Year. Road 13, it's all about the dirt.
This is a Top Drop 2018 in Vancouver, year 5. And I was going to go alphabetically from A to Y or Z or Z. And that's when I realized that I would never get to Yolumba if I didn't come straight over and bypass all of the other letters in the alphabet and go straight to Yolumba and find Jane Ferrari. I notice on your really fancy schmancy card that it doesn't say what your title is. I ask you this every time. Does it change? What is the title?
Whatever they need me to do whenever.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Jane is the voice of, and the face of, and the presence of Yolumba to those of us around the world, and also for South Australia, in fact. Where have you come from?
From Edmonton, oil town.
Were you watching hockey? What were you doing?
We were doing some pretty fabulous events. Edmonton is has been tremendous to us, and... We've got a great distributor on the ground there and a very small team. There's only three of them, and we've all become very good mates, and some very cool stuff is going on in Edmonton food and wine wise, and especially with the way that old Strathcona is just coming alive.
Yep.
In leaps and bounds. So we've kind of gone with it and done really cool wine events, mostly I have to say in various venues in old Strathcona. And we did a wine dinner. We did the first wine dinner that Holy Roller has ever done. And it was just magic. You know, things like the signature with a trio of thin-cut lamb loin chops, doused in garlic and red wine. Just fantastic stuff. And we always catch up with Mary Bailey from the Tomato magazine.
Yeah.
We always catch up with Juanita Ruse from the Edmonton Journal. And they're getting stuff done there. They put that Magic Entertainment Centre and an ice arena up in like 18 months. And, they like us, we like them.
Did you take in a hockey game?
I haven't seen a hockey game this trip.
Good Lord.
But I was in Las Vegas when it was going just crazy when the Golden Knights got through to the next round of the Stanley Cup. So I was there with the Wine Spectator Grand Tour.
Well done.
Yeah.
So give us an overview quickly on Yolumba. How are we doing 2018?
We're doing well. We released our Super Claret last year. We waited for we were waiting for a really spectacular vintage of signature of our Cabernet Shiraz blend, and 2012 was just gorgeous. The George Clooney smooth from start to finish vintage, and we kept about 10 or 12 barrels hogsheads back, and we hung on to it a little bit longer, and we've put it out as the Cayley Super Claret, and we released 5,500 bottles for the world. And we've actually been showing that around Canada since the 13th of May last year. We've done a few jobs, a few events, and it's just Cabernet Shiraz is coming into its own. Grenache, 100-year-old Grenache on its own roots is trendy as.
Jane Ferrari from Yalumba, she is the voice and face of Yalumba. Well, I taste the Grenache.
Good things, yeah.
If you could tell us about the two Viogniers that you're pouring and what makes them different.
Yeah, sure. The two Viogniers we have today is the Eden Valley Viognier, which is the little sister, and the Vigilius, which is the big sister. Essentially, Vigilius is a barrel selection of the 22 acres that makes up both wines. And it takes us about a month to pick by hand. The trick with Viognier is to get it ripe enough to get the characteristic apricot, peach, stone fruit, blossom on the nose, viscosity on the palate, that Condrieu, the spiritual home of Viognier, say that you need to get it true to form. And you need to pick it a little bit riper, and so you have to handle it with kid gloves. And we hand pick it, bag press it, ferment it all out with wild yeast, actively discourage malolactic. And we get roughly 90 to 95 hogsheads off that vineyard. And everything that's really bright jumping out of the glass goes to Eden Valley Viognier. Everything that shows a little bit more restraint, a little bit more French expression, lemongrass, ginger, something with the X factor, goes to Vigilius.
So the two Grenaches that you're pouring, Jane Ferrari, from Yalumba, is the old bush vine Grenache, which I am attracted to, anything that says old and bush vine. But the other one is the tricentenary Grenache. So,
well, you've hit the jackpot with both of those, because both of them are off old bush vines. We have a block, 42-acre block on the sandbank, 9 feet of river sand over clay between Vinevale and Light Pass on the Barossa Valley floor. And the tricentenary is the 800-odd vines that make up 2 acres in the middle of that vineyard that were planted in 1889. So they're the real old-timers, and that's just got gorgeous length, and it's got a real lushness of fruit, raspberry over rosemary in the middle palate. And the bush vine Grenache is the little baby brother that comes from everything else on that vineyard, and that's 1940s through 1960s planted bush vines. And also there was originally, when Robert and Sam bought that vineyard in 1999, there was some Pinot Noir and Chenin Blanc there. It's too hot to grow that, so we pulled it out, and we've actually replanted that area with cuttings from the old tricentenary block. And they call it tricentenary because basically Brian Walsh, our winemaker, our chief winemaker that used to be, was a bit of a wordsmith, and basically it was planted in the 19th century, made it through the 20th and the 21st. So
Jane Ferrari from Yalumba, she is the voice and face of Yalumba. And then there's the Scribbler and the Signature. They're both blends, Cab Sav Shiraz.
Yep, that's little brother, big brother again. Signature is the best combination of Cabernet Shiraz we can make in any given vintage. And it's been called Signature since 1960. Before that, of course, it was called Galway Claret after Governor Galway, Yalumba Galway Claret, and Claret because that's dry red, firm finish, Cabernet dominant. So anything that's not quite intense enough to make Signature just yet, since 2006, we've had the Scribbler as a label, little brother to Signature, that we can put it in, and we can park it there until those vineyards get old enough and the fruit's intense enough to make Signature.
How cool is it that you're in the Roundhouse?
Well, I was just saying to one of the young fellows from a local restaurant, it is really cool because the Roundhouse is actually where the old turntable is to turn the engines around at the end of the train line. And there's an old engine over here that was the first engine that pulled the transatlantic crossing from Toronto across Canada, right, with Canadian rail. Now, here's the cool thing. That was like in 1893, Robert and Sam's grandfather's elder brother, Fred Cayley Smith, who the Cayley Super Claret is named after, was here in Vancouver because he was on an 18-month trip to the Americas and the Dominion of Canada to get as much information as possible about fruit growing, because we had a fruit canning operation. And he'd been on the island of Victoria because they had this amazing innovation on Victoria in 1893 where they started putting preserved fruit into glass and had a really cool label and you could see the fruit. And our Fred Cayley Smith sent a letter home to his father saying, you should see this, it's just extraordinary. We need to take that anemic looking woman label off our can, you know, and we need to get something really spectacular. And you can see the fruit, you can see how good it is. And he caught the train from here all the way through the Rockies, up through Banff, down to Edmonton and across to Toronto, where he then went down through Boston and caught a transatlantic steamer to England through New York. So how cool is that?
The Cayley comes
how
full
cool
circle.
How cool is that? Yeah.
That's very nice.
I didn't know till I got here today.
And neither one of us were here to welcome him. Okay, I just want you to know that. I've got to try the Scribbler, and I have to try the Signature, and then I'm done with Yolumba.
Good-o. We'll put those next to each other for you.
Jane Ferrari from Yolumba. She is the voice and face of Yolumba. We see her once a year, if we're lucky, once every other year, and she just travels the world. You can't imagine the air miles that this woman has. But there couldn't be a better representative for South Australia and for Yolumba than Jane Ferrari.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio.
It's David Schofield. Hello, David.
Lovely morning.
What have we on this table?
We have lovely wines from Chile. We have a Chardonnay and a Sauvignon. This one, I think, is typical of what people might not expect from Chile. People always think of Cabernet Sauvignon. And what's developing in Chile is more of a focus on cool climate. So this is Pinot Noir, ocean-influenced Pinot Noir. This is called Lago Ranco Pinot Noir, relatively new in the market.
Here's what I remember about Chile. A DJ did a whole speaking session on it, but also when they showed up at one of the featured regions at the Vancouver Wine Festival, they showed up with all their Sauv Blancs. I just couldn't believe how good their Sauv Blancs were.
Because they are. Sauvignon Blanc, it does brilliantly, brilliantly well. I think what happens is, the vegetal tendency in Sauvignon, which so often is negative, in Chile, because you can take for granted great ripeness, you get something where, the sum is greater than the parts. Ripeness plus this sort of edge of greenness. So it's like counterpoint, There's a melody and then there's this little...
You turn me on to the narrative. How's the narrative with Chilean wines?
It's the Andes. It's the Pacific Ocean.
It's the people.
Sure, tradition. I was gonna come to that. Unbelievable terroir. There are very few places in the world where you have such consistent conditions. Vines love consistent, predictable weather, and that's what you get in Chile. It's hard to imagine a more ideal place on the planet for wine than Chile.
The people of Chile would be proud of you representing them today. Thank you.
Pleasure.
It's David Schofield, the wines of Chile, and they go from one end to the other, my friends. This is Tasting Room Radio, a top drop. Fifth year, 2018, at the Roundhouse in Vancouver.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13, the winner of 15 National Wine Awards for the Wine Align 2018 competition, and now officially Canada's Winery of the Year. Road 13, it's all about the dirt. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. This summer, they invite you to visit and enjoy not only their new patio, but also you can create your own picnic right there with ingredients from their restaurant. And you can pair your picnic with glasses or bottles of their wine.
As I promised at the top of the show, we were going to do these interviews alphabetically. It ain't going to work. It's not going to happen in a million years because everybody shows up at a different time. I have found Virginie Tepinot, the proprietor of Tepinot Merrim. You were at a seminar at Laboratoire. What was it called?
Seminar with Pinot Noir and Gamay.
Was it called the Pale Red Seminar? Behold the Pale Red? That's what it was called. Remember?
Okay, I didn't know. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I knew that Gamay would be there,
yes.
But Pinot Noir.
Yes, because we also have a wine which is a blend of Gamay and Pinot Noir, so it's very interesting because in Burgundy it's only most, for red it's only Pinot Noir. So there is one wine which is called Pastougrain, which is a blend of Gamay Pinot Noir, that's the only one. Yeah.
How does that blend work? And is it 50-50?
It's a 50-50 blend. It's a field blend coming from Moret Saint-Denis, a village in Côte de Nuit. That's where the estate is based. We have an estate of 19 appellations on 13 hectares, Côte de Nuit and Côte de Beaune.
And your brother is the winemaker?
Yes, yes.
How many fights have you had?
We have some. No, but we work together. I'm more in charge of the sales, and you know, so during the harvesting we work together, so we try. But of course it's not always easy to work in a family, to all together. And I have my parents who are in good condition, good shape too. So we are four shifts at home, you know.
And how many generations of family?
It's more than seven generations. Topeno is my father's name and Mem is my mother's maiden name. Yes.
So your name's on the bottle.
That's true.
The family name is on the bottle.
That's true. That's true.
That's so, totally different from just a wine with no connection to it. When your family's name is on it, what does that bring to it?
I'm very proud, and it's always I'm very proud when I travel and I see my bottles in different stores, in different shops, drink with so many different people from many cultures, and no matter what the religion is or what they want or what they think, they drink the same wine, so it's a good way of communication, the wine.
How about Montreal? How about you in Quebec?
I've been going to Montreal for 22 years now, so it's a big, big market. And it's historical, so it's great. And I like going there too. British Columbia is a very beautiful city, Vancouver. I have a good relation with Matt, so I'm happy to be there. And we'll see. I'm sure it will be a growing market too for Burgundy wines and for French wines.
Matt Thurwell, why is it important that they be here for Top Drop and pour in Vancouver?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the premise of Top Drop is finding very site-specific, terroir-driven wines, and Virginie's winery just fits that mold perfectly, right? I mean, Burgundy is about terroir and about single vineyards and single rows, and like Virginie said, they make a lot of wine from a lot of different villages, and it's really great to showcase a real breadth of wine from different areas.
There's a large gentleman over there, right there with the beard. His name is Jay, and he...
We attended the seminar together.
He needs more Gamay. Did he complain about that? He said, I can't get enough Gamay in British Columbia.
You think I can sell him from Burgundy some Gamay? No, but... And I think it's important for us to travel, to see the level of knowledge of people and to educate people. Burgundy is complicated and not so much, so we have to practice, drink a lot, and to educate people and to learn them.
So tell me about the seminar in conclusion. Were there more Pinot fans in the room than Gamay?
I'm not sure they were both because they were there, so I'm sure they were fans of both. But
and did you bring your blend of Gamay and Pinot today?
Yes, no, not today. Not today.
Okay.
We change every day.
No, I'll find Matt. I'll hunt him down.
Yes.
Did you bring the Chardonnay?
Yes, I have a Chardonnay and Saint-Romain White.
From Domaine Tapinot Merrim, Virginie Tapinot, who is the proprietor of her family. She's been, well, I know there's been many, many years of family. Her brother is the winemaker, and she is pouring Saint Romain.
This is Tasting Room Radio.
This is Top Drop Vancouver Year 5. DJ Kearney, were you here in 2014 at the beginning?
Of course I was. Isn't this a great little festival? It's grown and grown. It's a fixture now.
I was just saying to Curtis that his batting average for winemakers and co-founders and proprietors of these wineries is sensational.
It is. You know, people want to meet the blood and guts of the winery, and you know, Curtis is really well connected, and that was the ethos of this festival. It's a great little indie one, and they're flocking here. There's a long wait list.
And you are setting up a store today.
We are. One of the great things about this wine festival is that you can taste and buy. So we have over 40 different wines here, from at least something from all of the wineries in the room. And you can just take something home with you that you loved.
If you can't, Is it possible for those listening out there that they can get to New District or contact New District and see how many of these you might have access to?
Absolutely. You know, whatever is left at the end of the day, we will have in the store. We will pop online. So there's easily a way to follow through and buy if you decided when you get home that you missed out.
Give me a couple that jump out at you that you're dying to see reactions to and taste and meet.
Absolutely. You know, we have a great little BC selection. There's Tantalus, there's Meyer, there's Tyler Harleton, there's Blue Mountain, Alpha Box and Dice.
Yes.
From Australia, right? They've lit the world on fire. We have a bubbly from them and a beautiful red. We have Vira Rosé Bubble. That's a beautiful wine. A couple of other ones from Italy, Azalea, and then one of the great Beaujolais producers, Lapierre. We have some Morgon.
You're in heaven.
I am in heaven. You know, and Copain from California, beautiful Mendocino, Chard, and Pinot.
And Ridge is back.
And Ridge is back. Oh, first growth of the USA. I will be taking some Ridge home with me.
I do know you like your bubble. Is there one bottle in particular?
Yes, we have from Limoux, right? This is one of the cradles of sparkling wine production down in the south of France, the Antech. So that's a gorgeous little blend from the south of France. And we have Volerot Champagne. Not such a household name, but one sip, and it will be.
You know, I think that's why people come to Top Drop. These are not all collected in one room ever. They're the only ones doing it.
Yeah, they're not so mainstream, not the household names, but these are fabulous small artisan producers who...
Sustainable, yes, organic.
Exactly, all of those things. And they're here to connect with you and to really help you make sense of their wine. So it's small, it's independent, it's momentous. It's a really profound festival.
Like, you need more email, but can people write you at newdistrict.ca?
They absolutely can. DJ at newdistrict.ca or info at newdistrict.ca.
Info. Thank you, DJ.
Thanks so much, TDM.
This is Tasting Room Radio, a weekly celebration of food, wine, and life with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
Remember how I said I was going to work this room alphabetically? None of that is working. But I did have... I wanted Montalto to be part of this conversation. Mornington Peninsula in Australia. Simon Black, the winemaker, is here with me in the studio, which is just a table. Tell me about Mornington Peninsula.
Mornington Peninsula is a very small region, about an hour south of Melbourne. We are famous for Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. We grow some other varieties as well, but our focus is it's all about Chardonnay and Pinot Noir.
That's what the land wants to give you.
That's exactly what the land wants to give us. We've tested other things and it hasn't worked as well as we had hoped. So we learned a long time ago to stop stuffing square pegs into round holes.
Exactly. Well, and throwing the money in your pocket straight up into the air.
As is the case with most winemaking pursuits.
Exactly. What did you bring to pour then?
I have my 2016 Pennon Hill Pinot, which is... 16 was a tremendous year for us. It was high quality, good yields, which is unusual because we usually have difficulty getting crop levels, sort of anything above 1.5 tons to the acre is generous for us. So,
wow.
Yeah. So 16 has delivered in terms of quality and quantity. Yeah.
So the Pinot, and there's a Chardonnay here?
I have a Chardonnay here. This is our 2016 Estate Chardonnay. Chardonnay from the Peninsula, for me, is all about... purity of fruit, and we tend to get a real sort of citrus, a collage of citrus characters to the wine. So if you think lemons, limes, nectarines, those sort of things, and you teeter into that sort of stone fruit territory too.
He's Simon Black. He's the winemaker at Montalto, Mornington Peninsula, Australia. We hear, and there's references, especially from the winemakers in Oz, about what Chardonnay was and what it is now. So are you representative of Australia today in terms of Chardonnay or just your region?
I think there's been a correction with Chardonnay. I think, as you say, in sort of the late 80s and early 90s, even through to the mid 90s, we saw a lot of really ripe, buttery Chardonnays, high alcohol.
But they did well.
They did well, but I think with the emergence of more food knowledge and wine knowledge, the consumer is chasing something that is a little more elegant, and you can drink. You can actually go back for a second glass and really enjoy it. And for me, you need to have a good tension of the city and a good drive and a good framework. And the acid line is really important, particularly when it comes to food. I think the food culture has changed significantly in Australia over the last 20 years, and people want to be able to drink wine with a meal and have the wine actually complement the meal and not have the wine over, you know, tumble over the top of the food.
What are Australians drinking?
Australians are really, they're into all sorts of things at the moment. They're seeking out, they're very curious about new varietals. So at the moment there's a big drive towards just discovery. I think the core varietals have always been popular, so Chardonnay, Shiraz, Cabernet, Pinot and Chardonnay from the peninsula have become really popular. We're starting to drive or push that burrow forward. But other things, you know, Tempranillo, Sangiovese, Nebbiolo, a lot of the Italian varietals and Spanish varietals are, yeah, creeping in.
How about rosé?
Rosé, there's a big push for rosé at the moment too.
Is it a sipping rosé or is it a food rosé? Or both?
Probably a combination. We make much more of a savoury style rosé. Yeah. We kind of, I guess traditionally rosé was a bit of a dumping ground for wines that no one knew what to do with. But in more recent times, people are making purpose-built rosés. And there's a huge variation in style. They're being made from so many different varieties, Tempranillo, again, Sangiovese, Pinot Noir, Shiraz, and they cover the full range of colours from a really light pale salmon into a much deeper sort of cherry red colour.
How do you like Top Drop?
I love it. It's fantastic.
It is a good room, isn't it?
I'm so happy to be here showcasing my wines. It's the first time I've been in the Canadian market with my wines, so getting a lot of great feedback. I think people are excited about what Australians are doing. I think the change, I think we've probably been, there's been a mould that's been set with Australian wines, and there have been bigger producers with sort of stereotype styles, and I think that Australia has a lot more to offer than just that, and I think this event here is showcasing some Australian wines with some tremendous quality, and I think everyone's pretty happy to be here.
He's Simon Black. He's the winemaker at Montalto, Mornington Peninsula, Australia. And he's pouring his Pinots and he's pouring his Chardonnay. Check him out. This is Top Drop 2018, Vancouver.
Next week on Tasting Room Radio, it's Top Drop Part 2. We'll start with David Amadia, the president of the legendary Ridge Vineyards in Sonoma. And then Beth Novak Milliken, the president of Spottiswood in Napa. And from Dalmatia, Croatia, the marketing director of Stina Wines, Emil Medin, and a wonderful storyteller, Mark Vlosak, the owner and winemaker of St. Innocent Winery in the Willamette Valley, Oregon. And if we have time, we'll visit Chateau Wolf in Nanaimo. Just a reminder that Tasting Room Radio can be found by podcast subscription on Apple Podcasts and Google Play Music. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. This summer, they invite you to visit and enjoy not only their new patio, but also you can create your own picnic right there with ingredients from their restaurant. And you can pair your picnic with glasses or bottles of their wine.